Shalom, this is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Brit Over and Broadcasting Israel, in association with Kosher 101.9 radio around the world, Carlsbad, New Mexico. We ourselves are speaking to you from Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, the most important country in the world, the country and the city that you read about every day in the newspapers and that all the world does dance around, where the fate of humanity is to be decided. This is the country of Israel, and this is the city of Jerusalem. Present, we are discussing the blessings that were given to the Israelites, the blessings that were promised in the Bible to the Israelite people, and we are concentrating on those blessings that were given to the lost tribes of Israel, to the northern 10 tribes of Israel. Originally, there were 12 tribes of Israel. The northern 10 tribes were lost. They lost the consciousness of their ancestry. There was a purpose for this. Divine Providence wanted it that way. They had a task to fulfill in the world, in history, and they fulfilled their task. And in the end times, they will be told once again, they will be informed, they will come to know, they will come to be aware of who their ancestors were, of who they are, and of how they fit in with the biblical promises. And we have begun this work. We have doing a very small part, doing something about it, telling the world what we know about it. And this is our task, this is our mission, this is the goal of our organization that is called Brit Am, B-R-I-T-A-M. And if you want more information on this and on related matters, you may go to our website, www.britam.org, britam.org, and there you will find a lot of material on what we are speaking of about concerning who the Lost Ten Tribes are, where they are to be found, and proofs and discussions concerning the implications of these proofs and exhortations and blessings, all about the Lost Tribes of Israel and all concerning the identity of the Lost Tribes of Israel, and especially those who descend from Joseph, from the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, who are the two tribes amongst the Lost Ten Tribes that the Bible refers to and emphasizes more emphatically than anyone else. The Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, these blessings that have been promised to the Lost Tribes of Israel, that have been promised to the Israelites, they were unconditional. They could not be revoked. They were irrevocable. God Almighty Himself said, "By Myself have I sworn, says the Lord," see in Genesis 28:15. "Then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed." They could not be taken back, and God did not want to take them back and did not intend to do so. It says in Numbers 23:19-20. God is not a man. God is not a man, neither the son of man, that he should repent. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. It cannot be reversed. See Numbers 23:19-20. The blessings could not be reversed. And Joseph, the Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, received a blessing from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their forefathers, given to Joseph and given to them. And this is what the Bible says, and this is what is proven by biblical verses and may be seen in articles and in other talks that we have given on this subject. At all events, the blessings existed. They were had to be put into effect, and they were real. We find that the two tribes of Joseph were Ephraim and Manasseh. In biblical times, Manasseh received an inheritance on both the east and west sides of the Jordan. On both sides of the Jordan. The clans of Joseph and of Manasseh, son of Joseph, were Machir and Gilad. They were the dominant elements on the eastern side of the Jordan. At that time, economically, the eastern side of the Jordan was as fertile as the western side, and it was a very valuable acquisition, a very valuable land to cultivate, and Manasseh dominated it and benefited from it. At that time the climate was different, the ecological environment was different than it is today. There were more trees, there were grasslands, it was wetter, colder, and it could return to being as it was in the past. Climate has changed, and mankind has influenced the climate. The Arabs influenced the climate. The Arabs, wherever they go, they cut down the trees, they bring in goats, eating up the roots of young trees and of grasses. exposing the soil to the wind. Wind comes in and blows away the topsoil. This greenery is produced. The temperature of the earth rises. There's less precipitation, less wetness, less rain. And so we have less growth because there's less water. A cyclical effect. Less water means more desert. And so we have a cyclical effect. And the land, but this can be reversed. The land can be healed. Even to some degree, the Jews in the land of the state of Israel have also begun to heal the land. They've created a very fertile, verdant region where previously there was desert. The places of Jewish settlement in the land of Israel, the boundaries between Jewish settlement and Arab settlement in the land of Israel are referred to as the Green Line. The Green Line, where there are Jews, it is green, growing, productive. And where there are not Jews, but there are Arabs, it is not that way. So we have the Green Line, which distinguishes between a Jewish settlement and non-Jewish settlement. And the Arabs are, in some ways, as individuals, good people. They are productive people, intelligent people. And they could be successful in other circumstances. And they could do well for themselves in another area. And it could be for the betterment of themselves and of mankind and of the Jews. The Arabs be resettled elsewhere in some other regions of the earth where they will not worry innocent people and where they can get on with their lives instead of driving the rest of the world crazy. At all events, the land can be healed, and it may be that in the future the land will be healed. This is hinted at in the Bible, not only with the lost tribes, not only with Judah and the lost tribes and the tribes of Israel all return to their lands, but they also heal the land. See Ezekiel 16:55, Chronicles 7:14 and elsewhere. Also see Leviticus 26:42 where it says, "Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob and also my covenant with Isaac and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember." And I will remember the land. God says he will remember the land. In other words, he will have mercy on the land and he will heal the land. Returning to our subject of the lost tribes of Israel, of where they were before they were exiled. The northern kingdom was referred to as Ephraim because Ephraim was the principal tribe throughout much of its history. Also the first king of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam, came from the tribe of Ephraim. In the books of prophecy, the term Ephraim is also used as a general term for all the lost 10 tribes, for all the lost 10 tribes of northern Israel. The first capital of the northern kingdom was Samaria in Hebrew Shomron. Samaria was actually in the portion of Manasseh on the western side of the Jordan. In the time of the judge Gideon, Ephraim fought a portion of Manasseh over the question of tribal predominance. Ephraim lost. So we see here that sometimes Manasseh could be more important and more potent and more powerful than Ephraim was. In some ways, Manasseh was to be actually the most important tribe. The simple meaning of the Bible does not necessarily say that Ephraim would become greater in a physical sense. It can, according to certain commentaries, biblical and rabbinical commentaries, refer to a spiritual element, a cultural element. As far as power and material wealth was concerned, Manasseh was to precede Ephraim. We find this in biblical blessings, in the listings of the tribes, in biblical history, in the book, biblical historical books, that Manasseh often becomes before Ephraim. The Natsiv, a great rabbi, in Aimik Davar on Numbers 2:20 says, even though Ephraim was the chief standard, that is, he was the leading tribe when the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. This was because the nature of providence in the wilderness was miraculous. There was the miraculous, and there Ephraim was the chief tribe. The power of Ephraim is greater regarding the miraculous aspect of existence. It's more spiritual, more abstract. Concerning the regular way of the world, says the Nazir, however, Manasseh is greater. You may see background material and more on this subject if you go to our website, and we have an article named Genealogy of the Blessings on this matter, which gives the necessary quotations and discusses it in a little bit more depth. And there you may understand more what we are referring to. The Nazir says that in material things, Ephraim was to be greater. We also find elsewhere in the Bible and in biblical commentary, rabbinical commentary, and rabbinical commentators said that Manasseh in many ways was to be a greater, was to be a bigger tribe than Ephraim, and that a more materially successful one. This is significant because we identify Manasseh as having become dominant in the USA, and Ephraim more amongst the British and related nations. In Genesis 48:19 says concerning Ephraim, in this case Ephraim could also refer to America because it's not such a clear-cut case. Ephraim is present in the USA alongside Manasseh. It's a question of dominance. Manasseh is more dominant in the USA, but Ephraim is also present, and Ephraim also plays a role in the USA, and Ephraim in some cases may refer to the USA, expressing himself. It says in Genesis 48:19 that his seed, in other words, the offspring of Ephraim, shall become a multitude of nations. That is how it is translated. In Hebrew it says, Melo Hagoyim. Melo Hagoyim. Melo Hagoyim. Melo means fullness, completeness. Hagoyim means the nations. This is translated as a multitude of nations. This translation is okay, but it can also be given additional interpretations, supplementary interpretations, interpretations that do not contradict it, but add, as the Hebrew language is designed, that should be added additional meaning, additional depth to the expression. Melat Hagoyim can also mean that, as Ibn Ezra said, many peoples will come out of him, a multitude of nations. Or his sons shall be rulers over peoples. In other words, they shall tell other peoples what to do and enable other peoples to express themselves through him. The Hebrew could be translated as saying, his seed will be involved with the fullness of the nations. Other nations will need him to complete themselves. They will not be able to give expression to themselves without him. They will need Ephraim to affirm themselves to even exist, and he will rule over them. Onkelos also translated it in similar ways to how we have interpreted it, and how we have interpreted it is consistent with the rabbinical understanding and of that of the major commentaries. Ephraim, in other words the 10 tribes of Israel, were destined in the end times to have been able to give expression to other nations, to have enabled other nations, to have brought other nations into being, to have brought them up, as happened in the time of colonialism, to have developed these nations and encouraged them and taught them how to rule over themselves, and then literally created them, made them nations. And this is what the tribes of Joseph have been doing. All the tribes, all the lost tribes have been doing it. The Dutch did it, the French did it, and the British did it, and the Americans are continuing to do it in their own way. And they are the only nations that have done this, and this was the blessing given to Israel, and that it was predicted would have a special expression through Ephraim, through the 10 tribes of Israel. It's also said the lost 10 tribes will become a light to the nations. See Isaiah 49:5-13. Though Israel be not gathered to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. We have the end of the earth that is associated with the tribes of Jacob, and elsewhere we have seen that ends of the earth are associated with the geographical extremities of the continents, where it was predicted where many of the lost tribes would be found in the end times. It was said that they would be a light to the Gentiles, that they would be an inspiration to the Gentiles, that they would direct the Gentiles and help them and serve as an example for them. and also educate them. And that is what these peoples have done. This is despite colonialism and everything, all the bad name has been given, and the bad things and the mistakes that did happen, and they did do, and the sins and the crimes that they did commit, on the whole, from taking a long-term view and taking an overall view, on the whole, it was a beneficial movement, it was a beneficial stage in world history, and a necessary stage, and they were responsible for it. The Israelites, the lost tribes of Israel, were responsible for it, and they carried it through, and it was predicted that they would do so. And Isaiah says, 49:5-3, I will preserve you and give thee for a covenant of the people, in Hebrew, a Brit Am, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. And Amos says to the prisoners, go forth, behold, these shall come from afar, and know these from the north and from the west. And these from the land of Sinim in the Bible, as we have shown elsewhere, land of Sinim is referring to Australia. For the Lord hath cumbered his people. We see here the expression, raise up the tribes of Jacob. Was promised that lost tribes in the end times would be involved with raising up the tribes of Jacob. That means that lost tribes would literally be associated with Jacob. We have here a reference to Jacob, identity of Jacob. A North American is nicknamed a Yank, Yankee, Yank. The word Yank is the same as Yiddish and Northern Hebrew way of pronouncing Jack. Jack is short for Jacob. In other words, they are called Jacob, Jack. The flag of Britain is known as the Union Jack. Also, expressions Jock. Jock is a nickname for someone from Scotland. Jock is also a form of Jack. It is short for Jacob. So we have here the term Jacob being applied to peoples whom we identify as we descend from lost tribes of Israel. And two, we saw that these blessings have been irreversible from the very beginning. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying or multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. In other words, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who would receive the blessings, would be extremely numerous, as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. They would be numerous, exceedingly so. And also they would possess the strategic thoroughfares, the strategic portals, and entry regions of their enemies, of those who were potentially against them. They would be, in other words, they would be military predominant on the face of the earth and have their ships and aeroplanes and their bases all over the earth. And this is what these peoples have done. And this was irrevocable. It says in Genesis 28:14, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. 28:14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and they shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. 28:15. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places where you go, and will bring you again into this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That's what he said. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. God said his divine presence, he himself would always be with Israelite peoples, all of them, and even when they go into exile, even when they lose their identity, God will be with them and he will help them. They would fulfill their destiny. This is also referred to in Numbers 23:24. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall not do it? Hath he spoken and shall not he make it good? He hath abased it and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Abraham had begotten Isaac, and Ishmael, the covenant, came only to Isaac. See Genesis 17:19. Isaac in turn begat Jacob and Esau. And only Israel received, that is Jacob. Jacob is also known as Israel. Only Jacob, also known as Israel, received the blessings of Abraham. See Genesis 28:14. Israel gave birth to 12 sons. From these 12 sons come the 12 tribes of Israel. And all the sons, each one, received a portion of the blessings. See Genesis 49:28. Nevertheless, the predominant birthright, the right of the firstborn, went to Joseph, was given to Joseph, as it says in 1 Chronicles 5:2. Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Both of these sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, became individual tribes in their own right. Of these two sons, Ephraim was the preeminent, and this is reflected in the book of Jeremiah, "For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." We will go on, we could go on for a long time. There's very much to discuss and to consider, and there are a lot of ins and outs and places where we have to qualify what we're saying. We have to moderate certain opinions and certain expressions and comment on them and put everything in its context. But overall, the message is very clear. The Lost Ten Tribes are the tribes of Israel. The Lost Ten Tribes had a task to fulfill in the world. Joseph, the tribes of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh were to be especially important amongst the Lost Ten Tribes. We identify the tribes of Joseph primarily with the English-speaking peoples. We don't say that all English-speaking peoples descend from them, but we do say that they are to be found amongst English-speaking peoples. And that amongst English-speaking peoples is where they were to give expression to the Israelite ancestry. And these are facts. This is what the Bible says. It is very important that these facts be made known, and that is what we are doing, and that is the purpose of this talk and of other talks. Please take into consideration what we have said. Look it up, check it over, and see more. Thank you. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Britain Broadcasting, Israel. These blessings were unconditional. The blessings given to the Israelites and to the sons of Joseph were unconditional. And they derived from the blessings given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Genesis 28:15, it says, "By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, by myself, the Almighty himself, by myself, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed." Once God swears by himself that something will be carried out, it has to be carried out. It cannot be revoked. Genesis 28:15. Says that God is not a man, and neither the son of man, that he should repent. He hath blessed it, and I cannot reverse it. See Numbers 23:19-20. Therefore we have the blessings that were promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that devolved upon Joseph, and upon the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And we see how these blessings came down, how they came down from Abraham, and went to Isaac, and from Isaac went to Jacob, and Jacob passed them on to Joseph. And not only to Joseph, but also through Joseph and alongside Joseph to Ephraim and Manasseh. Thank you. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Britain Broadcasting, Israel.